Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for March 6, 2016. This week's sermon is titled, Why We Pray Out Loud.
Today I want to talk to you, I'm really excited about what I'm hearing, the feedback on this series. And just thank you so much for entering in and for hearing the Word, doing the Word. And isn't it cool that God has some very, very, just very simple things that we can do? You know, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He didn't say, I don't have a yoke, I don't have a burden, but he said, it's easy and it's light. And I think that's what we're learning. That's what I'm relearning in this series. And there's a whole ton of stuff that really, it's nothing like the laborious and very difficult ceremonial things they had to do in the old, under the old covenant, but just some very basic things, especially related to how my body affects my heart. And I know I said it in a Facebook post the other day. We've often talked about, tell people, follow your heart. But what if our heart is waiting to follow us? I believe it's in Ecclesiastes where the guy's talking there. He said, mine eye, this is King James, mine eye affecteth my heart. It affects my heart. And Romans talks about yielding the members of our body as instruments of righteousness. And see, we make this really complex. We try to change our heart first all the time. If I could get my heart feeling like it, then I would really be spiritual. Well, you know, it's like years ago, the Quaker church would have meetings, and they believed that you always had to wait on the Spirit. You couldn't just prepare a sermon and come in and preach it. You had to sit and wait, and they'd get the name Quaker, but they would literally sit there and quake, waiting on God to speak to someone. And they would sit for a long time, an hour, before anyone would do anything, because the Spirit had to move on somebody. And a famous old preacher named G. Campbell Morgan went to one of those services one day, and he walks in. The service starts, he walks right up and starts preaching this great sermon. And they said, you know, that was incredible, the way the Spirit moved on you so quickly. He said, I tell you what, when the Spirit doesn't move on me, I move on the Spirit. And we can do that. And it's on the Word. So today, we're going to deal with another thing that we can do. And I'm going to talk to you about praying out loud, especially in the presence of other human beings. Now, there's two objections to praying out loud. Two objections to praying out loud that people will tell me. One objection to praying out loud is that Jesus condemned the Pharisees for praying out loud. You know, there's that scripture. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Jesus didn't condemn praying out loud. He condemned turning prayer into a prideful, self-centered performance, like the curmudgeon, Francis. Good example. The second objection to praying out loud is the Lord knows my thoughts. The Lord knows my thoughts. Psalms 139 actually says this. I am an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. But God wasn't saying in that verse, the context was not prayer anyway. He wasn't saying you don't need to pray out loud. He was saying you can't hide from me. I know what you're thinking. And I know when your words don't match your heart or don't match your thoughts. Praying out loud, you know, I grew up in church, prayed out loud a lot. And I'm going to tell you one thing, a benefit of having a congregation that prays out loud is it's a lot more entertaining. It's a lot more entertaining when the amateurs get to do it and not just the professionals. And I remember preaching in a church in California many years ago. I was a young man. And they were big on prayer. And I remember this one woman always said a lot of outrageous things. And one day I remember I was standing near her, and she's like, she would like box. Devil, take your toys and go home. So she said, I love that. The pastor would just egg her on, man. He would just egg her on. She was, when you hear the term, I know some of you probably learned the term prayer warrior. Well, she really seemed like a prayer warrior. When I think of that term, prayer warrior. So praying out loud, you know, speaking of the devil, seriously, praying at a level that you can be heard. I want to talk to you today because I know this is new for some folks. Praying at a level you can be heard is a powerful practice. And that devil that that woman talked about knows it. I believe that's why he fights it so much. I remember as a child, Earl J. Rogers was pastored in our town for 32 years. I never ever thought that I might actually match his tenure at a church. We called him Father Time. He was there so long. And great man in our town, well-respected outside of the church in the city of McKinney, Texas. But I remember, and those were the days when it was customary in a lot of our churches that you called the pastor for anything going on in your life. You called the pastor, and he would come over and pray for you. Remember those days when you called the pastor? If a kid was sick, called the pastor, he came over, anointed with oil, prayed for him. That was common practice. And when I would get sick, my mother would call Brother Rogers, as we called him, and he would come over. And I wish I had written them down because I can't remember them verbatim. But he prayed beautifully. And this isn't about praying beautifully, by the way. And we don't all pray beautifully. I don't think I pray beautifully, so this isn't about praying. I can't pray as beautifully as Brother Rogers. But my point is, because he prayed out loud, and I heard him pray, for a little boy, 6, 7, 8 years old, it made an incredible impression on my heart and my mind. And it's probably one of the reasons I'm here today, doing what I'm doing. I used to catch my parents praying for me. My dad, we had a junk room in one house we lived in, and I remember walking by the junk room, and I could hear my father praying for our family. That was powerful. I can remember walking in on my mother, and she would lay on the floor on her face, and she would be praying, oh God, save my boys. God, I don't care what they become, but I want them to be Christians. I want them to serve you more than anything in the world. Boy, that makes a powerful impression on you. On some days, that's better than a beating. To hear your mother praying like that. She would hear from God, too. I remember I was having a rebellious spirit in my life, and a knock came on my door. My mother standing there with her Bible, opened Isaiah 57. She read it to me. She said, I want to read this. The Lord gave this to me. You are rebellious, but I will heal your ways. Silent prayer is a good thing. Silent meditation is a good thing. Nothing powerful, though, in our lives and in this church will happen if we only do silent prayer. There's something powerful about lifting our voices to God. We pray out loud because it helps us focus, and it keeps our mind from wandering. That's one of the reasons we pray out loud. We pray out loud because it keeps your mind from wandering off. Silent meditation is a very important discipline, by the way. But I want you to hear it. It's a discipline. It's a discipline to pray silently. And it takes much practice to be able to effectively meditate and focus your thoughts and not wander off. When I meditate, and I do, I try to take some time every day just to spend some time in meditation. And someday I want to talk about it, because that's a very important discipline. And it's very powerful to learn to meditate. We've kind of let the Eastern religions steal it from us, when it's one of the most powerful activities in the Word. But I'm going to tell you, it is hard to do. You know why? Because I'll get my scripture there that I'm going to meditate on. And just get started, and my mind goes, oh no, did I remember to get the oil changed in the car? And Sherry wanted me to call the insurance company and change our auto insurance and our house. I got to do that. And it's 4:30, and they're going to close at 5. And And you know, I texted, you know, I'm trying to get Matthew Slater to come and speak for our spiritual emphasis week, and I keep texting him, and what the heck's wrong with him that he won't text me back? He said he would come, and he texted me the other day, and now he won't text me back. I bet he's saying to Shirzad, that Pastor Phil is just bugging me, and I wish you'd leave me alone, and maybe I should just quit. And I'm so frustrated with those. You get my drift? Silent meditation is hard work. To make your brain try to think of almost nothing except that one thought, that one, just take a phrase, take a sentence from Scripture, try to think about it for 20 minutes, and your mind, not let your mind jump to any other concern, any other worry, any other fear, anything else. But you know how to solve that problem? Pray out loud. You cannot, your mind can't wander off if you're praying out loud. The silent meditation has a different, now someday I'll preach about that, it has a different function in your spiritual life. But praying out loud is one of the great ways to stay on track. Let me give you a scripture on this, because I don't want to say anything that I can't prove by scripture. Around here, scripture has, God's word's the last word. If you want to get a word from God, get in the word of God, all right? I said, if you want to get a word from God, get in the word of God. Amen. Amen? Apostle James taught us that we lead our hearts with our mouth. He said in James chapter 3, verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. Notice he didn't say what he thinks. What you think, he said, what you say. Able to keep his whole body in check, we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us so we can turn the whole animal. You can turn the whole animal if you get control of his tongue. If you get control of his mouth, our mouths, my point is, our mouths can lead our hearts. Decide where you want your heart to go and start speaking that. Start verbalizing that. You know why you discipline your children over what they say? How many of you had a mother, and my mother didn't do this, thank God. How many of you had a mother or dad who washed your mouth out with soap? Quite a few people were abused as children in this form. And why did they do that? Because instinctively they knew that your heart would follow your mouth. They knew if you talked vile and you talked dirty, that your heart would follow your mouth. And they knew it was also a revelation of your heart. So they didn't try to wash your heart with soap. They didn't try to discipline your heart. They disciplined your mouth, because that's all they could get to. Healthy churches pray together out loud. Rick Warren said healthy churches sing, and I would add to that, healthy churches pray together out loud. We pray together out loud because it energizes, edifies, it encourages, I meant to say, edifies and energizes. You go to Acts chapter 4, and there's this situation where some of the apostles have been taken, and they've been beaten. And this is after this great revival recorded in chapter 2, where the popularity of Christianity had grown. And researchers tell us that the church had grown to from 3,000 to about 200,000. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. The authorities were worried. And so they took some of the disciples and Peter and the others, and they beat them. And when they came back and reported it, the people didn't have a seminar, they didn't have a preaching service, they had a prayer meeting. And listen what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. When they heard this, they raised their voices together. They raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And the reason I want to read these words to you is because I want you to know they had to, if they hadn't raised their voices, no one would have been able to write down what they said. No one would have ever known what they said. If they'd have met for silent meditation, if they'd have met and just thought together, if they'd have met and just stared at one another or stared at the cross, if they'd have met and just done it, we'd never know what they prayed, and we would never know what God responded to. If we don't pray out loud, we never know what God is responding to. Okay, you spoke by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you... I want you to notice something. They weren't just praying so God could hear them. They were praying so the people around them could hear them. You pray to edify and encourage the people around you. You pray to inform them and to teach them. And we'll talk about in a minute how it can also reveal where you're not teaching very well. But that's good too sometimes to know who's off. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed out loud, I don't believe what we're about to read would have happened if they had just came for a few moments of silent meditation. They prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word boldly. See, never in the history of public meetings has someone gone into a meeting and later reported, no one made a sound the entire meeting. It was so powerful. I am pumped. It was totally quiet. No, they go, I went to the meeting, it was dead. It was awful. It was boring. See, the real power of a church is not in what you hear the pastor say, but in what you hear the people pray. I said, the real power of a church, that's a powerful church. Could I hear what that pastor said? No. You say, that's a powerful church because I can hear what the people are praying. We pray out loud because it exposes our hearts and the hearts of God, and the heart of God. Luke 18 records two guys who went to pray, and Jesus was trying to make a point. And he talks about these two guys who went to pray. One was a Pharisee, who were the religious leaders of that day. The other was a tax collector, the most hated people in the world, in the Jewish culture anyway, were tax collectors because they represented the Roman government. And so they were collecting taxes for the Roman government, and they were allowed to pad the tax amount to benefit and enrich themselves. So Jesus talks with these two men who went to pray, and he said to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. See, Jesus didn't say he was wrong for praying out loud. Jesus didn't say that. In fact, it was very important that he prayed out loud because it revealed his heart. Then Jesus said, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. And he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. See, when the tax collector prayed, you could hear the heart of God. The heart of God has a ring to it. Truth Truth has a ring of authenticity to it. You know it when you hear it. You know when you hear someone praying the heart of God. So you hear from God when you hear someone pray. When you hear that, heard that man pray, you are hearing from God. You ever hear a public prayer that made you want to throw up? You ever hear a public prayer that nauseated you? Have you ever heard one that melted your heart because you knew it was congruent with the heart of God? The heart of those two men was exposed, and it created a teachable moment that would have never happened if the custom had just been silent meditation. When we pray out loud, we do it because it creates holy unity and solidarity and agreement. 1 Corinthians 14:16 says, if you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among you, those who do not understand, say amen? Say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying. Now I realize the context there would be primarily talking about speaking in an unknown tongue, but the consequences would be the same if no one could ever hear us pray. See, I believe the fear of being heard to pray is a satanic plot to keep the church from entering into the power of agreement. Because you know what I've noticed? You know what the number one fear that I find with people when I gather them together in small groups? Number one fear, without question, 40-something years of being in pastoral ministry, without question, the fear that I hear voiced the most is, don't ever ask me to pray out loud. Don't ever ask me to lead in prayer. Now, I always respect that, and we're going to respect it. If you're, that's where you're at and you come into one of our small groups, we tell our small group leaders to respect that, because we want you to come along at the pace that you're ready. We respect it, but I'd like for us to really evaluate, where is that coming from? Where is that fear coming from? Is it possible that that our adversary doesn't want us to have the power that would come from praying out loud? Is it possible that that's true? And I don't want to hurt your feelings, but is it possible that you have pride? Is it possible that you see prayer as a performance and not as a tool to bring you in agreement with the others in the room? That's what it really is. Like, if I tell you, if two on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for you by my Father is in heaven. But if your asking is always silent, how are we going to agree with you? No wonder Satan doesn't want us to pray out loud, because praying out loud brings us to agreement. On the initial meeting of the early church, it said they begin to speak as the Spirit enabled them. What if they had let fear paralyze them that day? 120 people. You know, some of you know the Bible, that story. Some of you don't know it. That's fine. But that's how the church got started in a prayer meeting. The church got started in a prayer meeting. 120 people about 2,000 years ago met in a room for prayer. They had seen the Christ rise from ascend back to the Father, and he'd instructed them to go wait for the promise of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And they met there for 10 days, and they did various things, but they prayed. And then at a moment in time that has transformed the world, the Holy Spirit came, and what did the Holy Spirit do? He enabled them to pray out loud. And they began to pray and praise God in a voice that everyone can hear. He enabled them to be prayed out loud. And this drew the attention of the people that were in the area. And they had there was a porch that they got out on. And these people came, and 3,000 people became Christ followers that day because a group of people were willing to pray out loud. Is that powerful? And I'm not, I don't want to hurt your feelings, guys. I mean, that's not going to do me any good, because you'll go find you a pastor who won't hurt your feelings. And that's not what I'm trying to do. But if we want to go where God wants us to go, we're going to have to be able to come into a room and have a prayer meeting. That the guy on the stage, whoever's running it, has to control you and not try to pump you up. Because coming together and sitting in silence has its value, but that should not be the general content of our prayer meetings, is coming and sitting in silence. Because we cannot come into agreement and solidarity if we do not find our voice. It's when we begin to pray together, and this is a spiritual matter, because let me tell you, words have spirit. Words are packed with spirit. Well, the words that you speak are packed with spirit. So even if you cannot hear and understand every single word that the people around you are saying, when we begin to release our air, our wind, the word pneuma means wind. The word for spirit is pneuma and means winds. And we begin to release our oxygen, and it's filled with words of faith, and it's filled with words of praise, and it's filled with words of petition and intercession. I want you to know the molecules and the atoms in the room change. What would you think if you went to a wedding and the bride and groom refused to speak? I'm telling you, all this stuff we do, and I've made some famous gaffes at weddings. You know, I've of all the ceremonial things that I do, weddings is where I get the most nervous, and I don't know exactly why. It just seems like I'll leave something out, I'll mess it up, I'll call the bride and groom the names of the last bride and groom that I married because that's what's in my notes. I've done all that stuff at weddings. But I always tell them, no matter how bad I screw it up, at the end of this thing, you're going to be married. You know why? Because they say vows. What if we got to the part, will you now repeat your vows? Will you now repeat your vows? I'm thinking them. Two most powerful words in the universe are, I do. Some of you go, I did? I did? You are married, if you are married today, because of what you said. We could have done everything. We could have had all the music, all spent all that money, had all the rehearsals, done all that stuff. But if you had turned it into a moment of silent meditation, you would not be married. Because you create covenants with your words. Your words create covenants, and that is so biblical, we could preach a whole sermon series on it. Your words, it's with your mouth, you create covenants with other people. That's why we want to pray out loud, because we want to every Sunday or whenever we meet for prayer, we got another prayer service we want to talk to you about later, but whenever we meet for prayer, we want to be creating powerful covenants with God and with one another. We pray out loud, and you know another reason? We pray out loud so Satan can hear us. Because he can't read our minds. He doesn't know our thoughts. And sometimes that's good. But sometimes I want him to know what I'm thinking. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So when I want to resist him, I want to verbalize it because I want him to be sure he understands me. The Bible says in Matthew 17, 18, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed from that moment. There's not one example, and Jesus cast out a lot of devils, not one example of one demonic spirit responding to Jesus' thoughts. They responded to his words. At the tomb of Lazarus, and that when Jesus faced that spirit of death, he prayed out loud, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. Sometimes, how many of you ever say that? Satan, get behind me, right? Don't just think it, say it. We pray out loud because Acts 2 is the pattern for all things New Testament. And it has worked beautifully for 6,000 years. For 6,000 years, the people of God have been praying. And I referred to Acts 2 a while ago. Acts 2, 7 and 8. Utterly amazed, they ask, are not all these men who are speaking, are all not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Isn't it interesting that the attraction that God used to launch this movement that we're a part of, that went from 120 to 3,000 to 200 to 200,000 to countless millions, was people praising and praying out loud? That was the genesis of this great movement that we call the church. The Holy Spirit did not move them to meditate, think, or be mindful. That's the new phrase today, and it is important. He moved them to pray out loud together in chorus. When we pray out loud, see, it creates a chorus that emotionally moves the hearers. You know, some things are experiences that you can explore and explain intellectually. And we advise you to do that. We don't advise you to kiss your brains goodbye and just use your emotion to test, to be the sole way that you test everything. No, truth has a cognitive, intellectual side, and it has an emotional side. But there are some things in life like love and romance and sunsets and things like that, your feelings for your children, family, affection. There are some things that defy science. There are some things that transcend anything you could quantify or qualify with any sort of testing. And one of those experiences I've had in my life is the experience of hearing a group of people praying in unison, not one person way louder than the rest, but in beautiful harmony. I remember many years ago, I was involved with a group of people in Ashland, Virginia, very devout people and people who really, really love to pray. And I remember one night I was there doing some ministry with them, and this was when I was in early 20s. And one they would always meet before the service and pray. And I remember one day I was walking. It was an outdoor. They had an outdoor tabernacle. This is outside of Richmond, Virginia. They had an outdoor tabernacle. They call it just a covering, and where they would meet. There's probably 500 people, 600 people. And I walked from the little cottage where I was staying. I remember walking down the road. I was probably half a mile away. And those people were all praying in unison. They were lifting up a chorus. I am moved to this day by that moment. It sounded so beautiful. It sounded like Niagara Falls. And you could just see the smile on God's face in your heart when you heard those people praying together. Another experience I think I talked about in one of the videos for our life group is being at what we call the Jesus Festival in the mid-80s at a field next to Disney World. One night in those meetings, and those were incredible, interesting times for the church and for the body of Christ, 30,000 people were at this Jesus Festival. 30,000 people were all standing in a field. And a lady named Jeannie Clattenburg began to sing, "We worship and adore you, bowing down before you. Songs of praises singing, hallelujahs ringing." When she said the word bow, all 30,000 people hit their knees. I still get chills when I think about that moment. Our bodies can lead our hearts. I'm glad they prayed out loud. Because that's a moment, and that's a memory. And I thought, this is what heaven is going to be like. This is what heaven is going to... See, we need to give our guests who come to this church, say, well, we're going to freak them out. We're going to scare them. Well, we're doing that already. Yeah. No, you know what? We need to give our guests who visit our church, who maybe they aren't church people, they're not Christ followers, let's give them a moment that they will never forget. not frightening them with emotionalism or weird craziness or bizarro things that we do. I've been there. I've seen that too. But with that experience that I saw, I don't think any, no matter how critical you were, no matter how much against the church you were, if you're in that moment when people are being wise and appropriate and passionate, it will move you. It will move you far more sometimes than a great sermon will, or a great logic of truth is explained by a speaker. When you see people who are passionately engaged, when you see a room full of satisfied customers, it sells the gospel better than what I'm doing right now, I'll guarantee you. Let us pray. Let us pray out loud, because it liberates prisoners and moves mountains. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. If I'd selected any one verse to be my text, it would have been this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now they were prisoners. Their feet were in stocks. They were shackled. But it was time for church. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. I don't think it was silent meditation. I don't think they were just thinking. I don't think they were just entering into a state of mindfulness. I don't think they were doing that. No. I don't know what they were saying. What do you think they were saying, Dad? What were they praying? I know I'm not as mature as them, so I know what I'd been praying, and it wouldn't have been edifying. But I think
the end is not yet.
You think they were praying the end is not yet? I think they were praying for those other prisoners. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I love that. And the other, anytime you're praying and singing, there's some bound people that are listening to you. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I want that to happen again. I want to see God move. And God's telling me, I'm not the problem. I need you people to move. God's saying me, you're telling, asking me to move. I've already moved. You move. And you'll find out, you'll catch up to me. You'll catch up to me when you start moving. Mark 11, 23 says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, not thinks about it, says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. The imprisoned aren't liberated, mountains aren't moved, and movements aren't launched with silence, but by voices, lifted with emotion and clarity and unity and an affirmation. When facing a mountain, he didn't say, think positive, though you need to do that. He said, say to this mountain. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 5:7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. I don't need to hear anymore. If my Lord and Savior prayed out loud, I want to pray out loud. As I said earlier, I've observed one of the number one fear of people in small groups is that you'll ask them to pray. I believe Satan fears our out loud prayers. I believe he fears, and that's why he fights it. I believe he fights it. I believe he fights married couples praying out loud together. I know how difficult it is to do. It's difficult to pray out loud with your spouse. I know what has happened when I've sent men home from men's meetings telling them to pray with their wives, and they would come back, and for some reason it just couldn't work. It turned into an argument. I believe the enemy doesn't want it to happen. The enemy doesn't want husbands and wives to pray out loud with each other. The enemy doesn't want parents to pray with their children out loud. He doesn't want you to having a family prayer meeting. If he can't stop you from praying altogether, he will sequester you so you only pray alone. And you don't pray out loud in the presence of one. What would happen to our families if our families prayed together out loud? If from the time they're little children, we prayed out loud as a family and we heard each other's heart toward God and we got in agreement. We got in agreement as we prayed the heart of God. I don't believe he wants churches to pray out loud. I believe the demonic realm gets nervous when we pray out loud. What would happen if we pushed past all of this and we became obedient in this practical area of Christianity? What would happen? Just imagine what would happen. If we push past our fears and we push past our inhibitions, I'm not talking about wild emotionalism or strange-sounding chants or everyone speaking in unknown tongues in the presence of those who wouldn't understand. I'm not talking about screaming. I'm not talking about some great performance. I'm not talking about amazing theatrical performances. I'm not talking about long prayers filled with all kinds of theological jargon like Francis would do. I'm talking about, I thought about this as I was wrapping this up. I thought, you know how much we really enjoy it when our little children find their voice? When they start to talk. It's the most delightful thing when the 1.5-year-old, 2-year-old starts to talk. It's the subject of many conversations between families. Did you hear what Eden said the other day? Eden, he was so cute. We're not critical. We don't want them to be eloquent. We're kind of disappointed when they become eloquent. I think God's the same way. So I want to close with this. I want to tell you something that I do in my prayer life, in my private prayer time. I use an acronym in my private prayer time. I'm going to actually lead you. We're going to close the service by praying out loud together. Because we're all going to the movies together. A lot of us are going to the movies in a little while. We're not going to have our normal response time, and we're not going to bring the band up. So in the next 3, 4, 5 minutes, I'm going to let you go. But we're going to close the service by praying out loud. And I'm going to give you a guide. I'm going to give you some instructions, okay? Let me tell you what I do in my private prayer life. I use an acronym, ACTS, ACTS. And sometimes I write it out, sometimes I don't. The A stands for adoration and worship. The C stands for confession, and we're not going to do that today. We're not going to do that publicly. I mean, that's hardcore when you ask to pray a prayer of confession in front of others. The third is the T, thanksgiving, and the S is a big old biblical word that you probably don't use very often, but it means request and petition. And things you ask God for, and I use the word supplication. Adoration, thanksgiving. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I just want us to take two letters. Thus, we're going to do the A and the T right now. And let me tell you, I wrote down some of my recent adoration. I try to go before God and I say, God, show me some aspect of your character that I can worship today. Because the Bible says we're entering his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. So I want to focus on worshiping God. Worshiping God is not thanking him for all the stuff he does or all the ways you're blessed. Worshiping God is when you worship an aspect of his character. So I say, God, every day, reveal to me an aspect of your character that I can adore right now. And I just wait a couple minutes until something comes. And whatever comes, that's what I go with. And here's a few things I've written down. I don't try to spend a lot of time and come up with a great theological word because that's going to take too much time. So I just, whatever. The other day, I worshiped and adored the God who always has a plan. The other day, I worshiped the God who wins. The other day, I worshiped the God of relationships. God, you're just all about relationships. I love that about you. The other day, I worshiped the God who communicates. I just love the fact that, Lord, you're a God of words, that you communicate to me all the time. The other day, I worshiped the God who informs. I worshiped the God who loves, the God who feels my pain. The other day, I worshiped the God who patiently waits. So I want you to find something right now about God that you want to adore. And in a minute here, I'm going to ask you to verbalize it. I'm going to just speak it. Okay? Now we're going to jump over to the T. And my T goes something like this. My Thanksgiving goes something like this. Thank you, God, for an awesome day I had yesterday. Thank you for that I felt so much better. God, I thank you that yesterday, I was used the last 24 hours. But thank you that I was able to do a bunch of running around. I went to 5 different stores, and I wasn't miserable. Since I've had surgery, it's the first time I've been able to run around like that and do errands, and I didn't feel miserable and just want to get back home. And God, it felt so great. Thank you so much for letting me have it. And God, thank you that spring is coming early this year. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for that pleasant conversation that we had at dinner last night, Elise and Sherry and I. And God, thank you that Elise is so pleasant and cheerful and just brings joy to our home. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, my list, and this is serious, my list of thank yous is always the longest part of my list. And when I start, I don't think I have anything. By the time I'm done, I could fill up a whole page with stuff that God is doing in my life. So I want you to focus. Think of the last 24 hours. Pick out 2 or 3 things that you are thankful for. And we're going to close the service. And if you don't participate, we're not going to do anything to you. We're just not going to do anything. We're not even going to look at you funny if you don't participate. But I hope you will. For some of you, it'll be a stretch. Some of you have never done it before. You've never prayed out loud in a public place. Everybody, I think everybody probably prays out loud driving down the road, you know. God, stop that jerk who just pulled in front of me. Brain fire down on him, Lord. But in this setting, we probably don't do it. This is going to be a powerful moment. I just prepare you. This is going to be a powerful moment when we all begin to lift our voices to God. Oh, I just love it, because this is about God. It's not about me. It's not about how good I preached or didn't preach good, whatever you think about it. Because this is it, man. This is you and God doing business and having fun and enjoying a relationship. So are you ready? Yeah. Do you need a moment of silence before you start? Okay. I'm gonna not pray because I've got a microphone, so I don't want to drown you out or lead you. I want you to pray on the count of 3. 1. On the count of 3, I want you to get ready to go. And I'm going to have you pray for, we're going to do about 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I want you just to pray up a storm. And just start telling God how much you love him. Tell him something specific that you admire about his character. And then I want you to start rattling off some things that you're thankful for. 1, 2, and on the count of 3. 3, go.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.